Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Lewis Fine from Walden Bromley Media, and today's show is a sequel of sorts regarding the art of storytelling, because I'm going to do an exercise live and impromptu. I haven't rehearsed this. I haven't thought about it, but for the few seconds preceding this show. But I'm going to demonstrate the difficulty of the art of storytelling, because every time I've gone online in the last week to different sites devoted to marketing, branding, communications, PR, advertising, and other related subjects, it seems that the topic du jour is storytelling, as if storytelling is a new concept, when in fact it's been with us since the dawn of humanity, since we were able to, or our ancestors were able to pick up any type of instrument, a rock, something they could etch or carve into stone within a cave and express with an illustration before they could articulate themselves through the power of speech. Storytelling is as old as man and as effective an art form as it was when it first began. The emphasis, however, is on the art of storytelling. So I'm going to do an exercise. I'm going to look at my desk because I'm seated in front of it. I have my feet up on my desk. I'm reclining in my chair. I have my phone here and I'm doing this podcast. And I'm going to select an item from my desk and tell you a story about it. I'm going to manufacture one. Okay? So I see that I have a medium point blue ballpoint pen from Papermate. I have used, and this is the story of the Papermate pen, told to you extemporaneously. I have used a Papermate pen since elementary school. On the first day of school, which was always the most nerve-wracking and the most exciting, because I would bring, everyone would bring, their new school supplies, their three-ring binders, their trapper keepers, their plastic pouches within those binders in which they would store their pens, pencils. By way of pencils, I prefer Dixon Ticonderoga number 2 pencils, their miniature pencil sharpeners, their erasers, and even their highlighters. Yellow was the dominant color, but sometimes you would also see pink, green, and blue. I have always been, since elementary school, devoted to the Papermate medium point blue. You can also get it in black, but blue is my preference pen. I am not a Bic ballpoint pen person. And I think there is a fundamental difference between the two with regard to not only the writing instruments, but the people who respectively prefer one over the other. To me, that Bic ballpoint pen, the one in which you can see the actual tube of ink, and it has a transparent or translucent plastic cylinder, and then at the top it has a black or blue, depending on the color of the ink, cap. To me, that pen is the equivalent, a form of brutalist architecture, an unsightly, indeed an ugly concrete piece of construction that was a fad in the late 60s or 70s and persists today as an eyesore, and it emphasizes utility over style. Its function over form, and it reminds me, even though it does what it's supposed to do, it allows you to write with a ballpoint pen. It reminds me of those pens you see at the bank, the ones with the miniature stainless steel pearls that are strung together, and the pen goes into its own slot, which is part of a rectangular fixture that is affixed to a black table, actually a black stand near an ATM machine so you can endorse your check. And the pen is a sign, an icon of institutionalism, of the institutionalization, the bureaucracy, the coldness, the detachment of going into a bank and endorsing a check. And yet the pen, which I would never use outside of the bank, is not worthless because the bank deems it valuable enough to chain it and tether it to a stand in the bank, as if the manager or the employees came to the conclusion that if we don't have those miniature stainless steel beads strung together and then affixed to this stand, people will steal the pens. Well, that's how I feel about BIC pens. They're institutional. They're brutalist. They're unsightly. They're ugly. They don't feel great when you use them. And you always have to, at least it's been my experience, when you use a BIC ballpoint pen, that you have to account for, or a lot, at least 10 seconds of vigorous scratching on a flat surface on a piece of paper. Often for me, it's a yellow legal pad, until the ink appears and then begins to flow and you can write with it. Whereas my experience with the medium point blue paper made pen is that in less seconds it starts to release the ink, and it's just a more comfortable pen to write with. And I have tried other pens, and I remember the fad when I was in elementary school that persisted into junior high school as well, in which you could get a pen, you could buy a pen, and there were multiple colors. So there were multiple points to the pen. So you would depress a plunger for green, red, blue, yellow, several colors, and you could write in that color. That was apparently a novelty, and yeah, as a novelty, sold very well, until, of course, it didn't sell well anymore. But the Papermate medium point, because there's also a fine point, and I don't prefer the fine point at all, because the width of writing with it is too narrow, it's too fine, hence the descriptor fine point, F-I-N-E, not F-E-I-N, thank you very much. But the medium point is just perfect. And I buy a box, I believe they're 24 or more, and for me, as an adult, it's as good a pen to endorse a contract, to endorse a check, to sign an agreement, than a fountain pen, a Mont Blanc Meisterstruck, for example, which could cost as much as, even more than, $1,000. So there's the utility, there's the value, and it doesn't, at least it's been my experience, it doesn't have that tendency with a BIC pen, even when it's new, to smudge or leave these little impressions of ink that, if you were to touch them as they've just made contact with the paper, would smudge the line, would smudge the paper, stain the paper, ruin it. So you have to wait for it to dry, or you can blow on it or wave the sheet of paper. I don't need that. So to the French holding company responsible for the BIC pen, it doesn't matter to me how many they've sold, how many pens or hundreds of millions of pens they sell. It's not the pen for me. That's my story about what's on my desk. Now let me tell you a story that's come to my mind about something that doesn't exist, and that is the $30 paperclip. Again, this is totally impromptu. We'll see where it goes, and you can judge this story by the quality by which I tell it and the verisimilitude. I want you to believe that it seems real, in which I tell this story. The $30 paperclip. Why would you buy a $30 paperclip? Well, what if I told you the $30 paperclip is comprised of carbon fiber in titanium, so it has incredible resilience. Unlike a box of traditional paper clips, this is much larger in size, and it can hold, or you can affix it to, a set of pages that weigh at least 50 pounds. That paperclip made of carbon fiber and titanium, it's a 60-40 split between the two, and it's also extremely lightweight. So it feels as light as a conventional paperclip, which is much smaller. This is three or four times the size of a conventional paperclip, which is one of many that you would get in a box because you don't buy one single paperclip. I don't think anyone would know how to price it, and I don't think anyone would bother to sell it, as opposed to putting that paperclip as one of many in a box for, let's say, $3 to $5. The $30 paperclip, on the other hand, doesn't bend or break like a conventional paperclip. And if you have nervous energy, you're someone who's an anxious person and you need something to fidget with, and you take a paperclip, as I have often done, and you find within the course of having played with the paperclip, it's no longer a paperclip, or it's no longer a useful paperclip, because what you have instead is an extended piece of metal that's not going to be of any value, and probably if you hold it the wrong way, you'll give yourself the equivalent of a paper cut. The $30 paper clip, on the other hand, imagine this stack of papers that it's been tested as far as, with regard to weight, 50 pounds of paper, and it's managed, people have managed in testing it through R&D, research and development, to attach it to a stack of pages, which you again have to imagine, because I've never seen a stack of pages that I've put on a scale that equals 50 pounds, but they've tested it up to 50 pounds. It might be as resilient up to 60 or 70, 75, maybe even 100 pounds. That it's resilient and flexible enough to do that, but because of its pricing, $30, and its utility and versatility, that this paperclip isn't going to break, that more people buy it, not as an office staple. They buy it because they have started to use it as a money clip, and they put their credit cards and their cash, their billfold, and then they apply the carbon fiber titanium paperclip as a means of putting their cards, their credit cards, their business cards, and their cash in their back pocket or side pocket, and therein a new market emerges, one that the makers of the paperclip themselves never expected to emerge, couldn't imagine emerging, and as a result didn't devise a marketing plan to cater to. But this has become a phenomenon unto itself. So when you see people that remove the paperclip, the $30 paperclip from their pocket when they're paying a check at a restaurant or they're paying for a cup of coffee and you see it, it's now a cultural phenomenon. And it's also a gifting item, especially during this time of year as we approach Christmas. And it's become hit onto itself. So something that was very counterintuitive, the idea that people would pay $30 for a paperclip, but they would pay $30 when you explain to them persuasively how much more money they would spend in the course of a lifetime on boxes of paperclips, and this is the only paperclip they need, and it can withstand at least 50 pounds of paper. It can hold it securely. Well, that's a story onto itself, and how the paperclip has created and opened new markets and has in its own way become a status symbol among professionals who, regardless of age, want to, in paying for a bill, want to withdraw that paperclip from their pocket in the same way they might wear an expensive wristwatch, which is a sign that they have arrived, that is a sign that they have good taste, that is a sign that they are trendsetters, that is a sign that they are on top of the latest news with regard to consumer goods. Well, those are the stories, and I hope I've done a good job. You can tell me. I'm Lewis Fine.